Welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and my guest today is Christine Marie, a.k.a. CM, is a conscious pop healing artist on the rise. As an independent recording artist in New York City, she has performed live at the most notable clubs and venues, including Stand Up New York, The Bitter End, Sullivan Hall, and many more. CM also aspires and has touched many with her self-created genre of conscious pop music. CM is releasing her first full-length LP records through her record label Authentic Records, and under an umbrella distribution deal, Famous Fontana Universal, currently working and collaborating with platinum record artist Father MC. Their new music is currently up for placement for the critically acclaimed new television show Godfather of Harlem, second season. She released her single 7 on Valentine's Day 2020 from her upcoming album, Divorce Morphosis.
Seven wives, 7 different lives. 7 guys, 21 kisses, good night. 7 wives, 7 different lives. 7 guys, 21 kisses, good night. My world is free, my soul is good, my spirit's inviting. My world is free, my soul is good, my spirit's inviting.
My guest today is Christine Marie, and she is joining us to talk about her debut single, 7, as well as the upcoming release of her album. I know that's an old genre word, but we'll talk about that as well. I just want to say hello and welcome, Christine Marie. Welcome back to Heart of Mind.
Thank you so much, Catherine. I'm so grateful to be back.
Yeah.
And to hear your voice and just be with you.
Well, it's wonderful because I have been following your work for quite a long time. And you've been doing music, I don't know, maybe most of your life, but I don't want to give years because I don't want to age either of us, but it's been a while. And I've seen you perform, and I've seen this evolution of musicality as well as an evolution in your being in terms of your countenance in the world, that connection spiritually, connection to soul. And I would love to share with people that journey. But first, just briefly tell us about your single and tell us about the full album coming out in a couple of weeks.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so excited. My single dropped through a distribution deal with Famous Records. My record label, Authentic Records, executive produced it with the help of many, many friends. Father MC is my producer. The upcoming album, which the single is from, is called Divorce Morphosis, which is an evolutionary story through music of what I had to go through in a personal journey of my own evolution and growth through leaving a marriage and finding out, you know, not who I was or who I am now, but who I am to become, and to take this very, very painful but blessed lesson and experience and kind of alchemize it into something that would serve me and help serve anyone and everyone that I'm, what I call my quote unquote audience, which is what I've discovered is just the people that are out there that are directly waiting and needing and wanting the service that I'm here to provide, that I was born to do. And part of that is my music.
Definitely. So tell us something about your music and your musical journey and how that is really not separable from your life, I presume.
Absolutely. And I always ponder how people say, well, you know, it's not business, it's personal, or my career versus my life. I don't understand that or get any of that, because everything I do stems from my mission, which is to raise my own consciousness and help others do the same. And so I started writing poetry when I was 9. I went to SUNY Purchase when I was in college, and the evolution from writing poetry and into creating songs was really interesting. I had to learn and create, you know, learn the technique first of songwriting, which is different than just poetry because there's AABA format and things like that. And then when I graduated college, I went into the city and I started recording with some producers. And my first producer was Rick Borgia. And I just started recording music. And at first it was all just for fun and because it was inside of me and my talent as a performer. But then when 9/11 came, something happened financially with the business I was doing, and my music was put on hold, and I was drawn into becoming a wellness counselor and nutrition. And then in 2004, I went into healing, and I became an integrative energy healer. And so around about 2006, I was able to kind of put those two together, and I started doing what I call wellness through entertainment, which, you know, kind of just marries everything that I am as a performer and as a spiritual leader and a wellness counselor and a nutritionist. I just put it all together and I kind of created the genre of pop music called conscious pop. And so the evolution of my vibration and my voice, by first really getting that I really needed to start being serious as a singer. And this just really happened like last year. I was a singer. I was a performance artist. I would record music and I would be good. And I would be okay. And a lot of people would be like, you know, you need to start really singing professionally, but you have to start working at it. And I started working this year. And so the evolution of my voice started taking me into a different realm where it was both a singer and a healer and a wellness counselor. And so the genre of pop music came together over the last like 5 years, I would say. And then I met Father MC 3 years ago, and I've just been, we recorded over 60 songs. So this year was finally opening for us to get it out there. And now it's out there. So I'm looking to share it with as many people that are needing it. I call it, you know, the medicine for the people.
Hmm. So tell us a little something about, was it Father MC?
Yes, Father MC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so Father MC is a platinum recording artist from the 90s. He was out like, you know, he opened the doors for Mary J. Blige, was her first producer. P. Diddy was his backup dancer. There's going to be a movie coming out very shortly about Uptown Records, and he was one of the first leaders at Uptown Records. And now he's my producer, and he's actually, I believe he'll be coming out with his own album right before or right after the Uptown Record movie is coming.
Oh, that's very exciting. It gives it more context for me. So tell us about your release and what are the songs that are going to be in the album that's going to be out in a couple of weeks.
Okay, so the release that I just did was 7, and we chose that one. It's an up-tempo dance pop tune. And it's basically about exploring who I really am and how I've kind of held myself back because of my conditioning. And now I'm going to let myself go and, you know, explore all that I am in my own authenticity. So 7 just dropped on the 10th. And the album has 18 songs that we chose. There were about 7 of them from July. And then I recorded about 10 of them over the past. I got here in February and we recorded 2 songs a day for like 5 or 6 days, and then it was done. It was amazing because I remember the first time I got out here, it took me 3 days to do one song. And then we were doing 2 songs in one day, so that was pretty cool. So some of the other songs on the album, one song is called Song I Sing, and that's about how I go back to the music to deal with what was going on with the heartache and the pain that I went through and how to utilize that to heal and alchemize a situation that was very painful and quite dark. And so I you know, used what I knew, which was to fall back on my creativity to get through that. Because there were a lot of really, really just very hard parts to get through where I knew I just needed, I had to grow myself into something and to get through the darkness and back to the light and balance it all out. So there's another song called What Is Your Life Like? That's very, very different than a lot of the songs I've ever recorded. And I have to give it to Father MC. He pulled all of this out of me from my story. And then he wrote all the songs. I did not write these songs alone. And when you listen to them, they sound like I wrote them. And that's how talented Father MC is as a songwriter. He's really amazing. What Is Your Life Like is basically about suicide. I personally experienced suicide with two major issues over the last few years. And so that's bullying. So that's what that song is about. There's a song called Ja, which is a reggae song about Ja, you know, God, Allah, the Holy Spirit. And so basically whenever I use any word that represents that, to me, it's all, you know, it represents all. So for this song, because it was a reggae song, it was called Ja. And it's really, I think, my favorite song out of everything that we did. The vibes are amazing. Just what it's about. It's, you know, when you're in the mood for love. And, you know, it just really lifts me up, that song. Then there's Do Me Right, which is a sexy dance tune, just kind of expressing, you know, my sexuality and how it feels to just feel like you can love again. And then Alpha Woman, which is a song dedicated for these times about the femininity rising and about the women really taking their place in all the workforce, in our careers, in life, and just standing up and like being, you know, the independent person in your life. Androgyny basically talks about my response to the transgender rise and our acceptance of it and how, like, it's kind of like what's going on with it and the, you know, the allowing of it and, you know, just my curiosity about how it is to be one gender and feel like another. I just think that's so interesting. And so I just felt like I wanted to bring a little attention to it. Karma is, you know, basically about, you know, what you do and how it affects you. Whispers is about my journey of being, you know, hurt. I was hurt. And what I need to do in order to heal that and move on. I Met Someone is about, you know, that feeling that you have when you're finally able to let go of, you know, what you went through and move on. Daughter of the King is just a fun song about my journey as a performance artist and, you know, getting back to my music after being through something that is, you know, kind of tears you down to nothingness so that you got to build yourself back up. Boy Girl is actually, we used Madonna's Holiday to be, you know, for the music. And we used the beat and we just wrote a new song. And it's basically about the freedom to love how you want to love and kind of exploring bisexuality and polyamory and the freedom of being, you know, not just being, but knowing and exploring and understanding the limitlessness of your sexuality and your being as a spiritual practice, you know, tantra, things like that. So there's kind of, you know, all over the spectrum of what I was going through during the divorce and the healing and the fall and the rise and then getting back into my music and using my creativity to express it versus, you know, how these kind of things can get very, very dark. I'll just say, the darkness versus the light, and then just knowing that you can use your creativity to express yourself in a safe way, that you're not hurting yourself or anyone else, and then allow the light to come in through that and balance, to come into balance and wellness, mm-hmm. and become whole through that.
Yeah, it's an amazing journey as I listen to you describe these songs, and it's almost as if I'm reading an autobiography, and going into all the stories and the heartache and the triumphs of your life experience. And to me, that's very, very relatable, because we all experience this, but we're living in a society where we are encouraged to hide anything right. that feels vulnerable, or any time we're suffering right. or unsure, and people just suffer in silence and alone. And it seems to me that your music is just opening up the roof and singing forth this experience that we all can relate to and share. So I think that's very powerful. I suspect that people will be responding to this music very strongly.
I thank you so much. I really feel that it's important to be vulnerable and to share and to open up and to raise awareness about the things that we all go through, so we can be there for others, to support others. And it was really beautiful because, like I said, this is the first time that I didn't write my own songs in my life. And I gave it up to Father MC, you know, and he really took the time. He got to know me and he almost psychically wrote my songs for me. But there was one element that he had as my mentor and a platinum recording artist that I didn't have. And he basically said, you know, I took your experience and I gave you 80% of it, but then I took 20% for the world, because we got to get it out there so that everybody can relate to it. And it was really, really an amazing learning and experience. And for me to be able to give it up to him, because I know that it will touch more people, that was not easy for me. He was like, go ahead, be an actress. Go ahead, do the, go ahead. You know? And I was like, okay. So, thank you for sharing and for pointing that out, because I imagined myself jumping into like one of those water rides. And I was just like, you know, I know this is what I got to do. I've always felt like it's my mission to work on a level at this, you know, worldwide, so that I could have an impact and help people. And I kind of just like in my own, as a metaphor, just jumped right into a water slide tube. And I'm just letting the flow take me, you know, to the path, to the next, to whatever it has to be in order to fulfill that. And right now, honestly, I've let go of everything. There is nothing like except for this work. And I've been in LA, but I've gone out to dinner once. I haven't really seen any of my friends. I've been in a cocoon in my room doing my work and going to the studio and coming back and forth, doing my fundraising, doing the business, doing now the promoting. And that's all it is right now for me. And I'm really blessed with the people that have supported me. I'm going to be on the cover of Soul Central magazine for April. I have a 4-page write up in there, and they're talking about sending me to London to start performing there. Hopefully, you know, with the whole coronavirus and everything, I will be divinely guided and divinely protected, so that the word can, that the people can get the message and the medicine can get out to the people. So there's so much I have to say.
Well,
really appreciate you giving me a platform, and I love you, Catherine. You're one of my favorite people.
Mutual love and respect, and I think that your story is as important as the release of your music, because as you talk about that state of absolute surrender and allowing, but also pairing that with the hard work. And I think that's where people miss the mark. You know, they sit at home and wait for the phone to ring, or, you know, you can surrender, but you also have to pair that with the work that needs to be matched to it. And I think that's a very, very powerful message. But also I see the universe, the kismet, the like soul matching of you with your producer. There's something happening in this work that feels very cosmic and very on time, like you're bringing something to all of us that's coming through you. And so it's your talent, and your work has brought you to the place where you can deliver that cosmic message. So I think that's really a powerful place to be.
Oh,
I really, you're so eloquent, and the way that you say it, it gives me chills, and I just surrender to that. That you see that and feel that, and I'm very humbled and grateful to share that with you and your audience and the people that need it. Yes, thank you. Yes, it's an honor and a responsibility. That's one of the biggest things that, you know, I was speaking with my therapist, and he was like, "What is the feeling?" And I said, I feel this great sense of responsibility for my talent and for the work and for the planet, you know, and my community and for myself and for my family, you know, and for what is to come. I mean, we have so much going on right now. You know, we have Trump, we have coronavirus, we have Michael Beckwith out there. We have so many dynamic, you know, there's such a dynamic diversity right now happening in the world. And it's, how do you kind of like, you know, surf the middle line of that yin and yang? You got to surf right on the middle of it and balance yourself out, you know, and allow the light to bring you to your next evolutionary process. I always get stuck. And I'm like, oh gosh, now what? Oh, I can't handle this. No, Christine Marie, you cannot handle it in this incarnation that you are at. But there's always growth. There's always growth. So, all right, what do I have to become to handle this? That's my like motto. Whenever I'm like, oh, I can't handle it. So that's not one of the things that personal growth and development is just such a huge part of my life. You know, I'm not perfect. I still get reactive. I still have that ego to deal with. I know when I'm in my ego, at least right now, I know that the ego part of me, I know when I'll always apologize. I'll come back. I learned a little while ago, it's the master is not about the one who can stay present forever. Some of you can. I'm not a master yet. But I'm working every day for that presence and to get back to presence. That's what it's about. Because a lot of people are just, don't give up. You know, you have a reactive moment. Okay, forgive yourself and practice. I have a few different exercises that I use to be able to become more present and allow to expand my consciousness. One of them I'll share, because maybe some people are having some anxiety, is to use the numbers and count backwards. If you use the numbers from 50 and you see 50, 49, 48, 47, 46, you exercise your psychic muscle. It helps you to be in charge of what you're thinking. And I started that about 10 or 15 years ago, and I increased it about 10 years ago, and I increased it even more about 5 years ago. And I just kept doing that and kept doing that. And that really helped me to be able to create space between the thoughts I'm having and the physical reality of what's really happening and what's here. And over time, it helped me to realize, wow, that's my mind telling me that. That's not really happening. And then over time, I was able to not even have that happening anymore. It was more just quiet. So then I started going to the next level, which was just meditating on the 5 feet around me and shifting from thought to sensory perception and listening and really listening. And there were some people that really helped me with this. My mentor, Zanomi, also Esther Hicks, she was saying, just listen, let the cork float up. And so just very often when I'm in an anxiety state now, I just listen to the sounds. Just put my attention on sound and listen. And that brings me back to presence. For me, like for Eckhart Tolle, he has the portholes. There's many portholes, your five senses. What I did was I did experiments to figure out which one was the best for me. And for me, it's listening. Some people feel that it's touch. Some people feel that it's your sense of smell. But your senses help bring you into the present moment. So also just your breath. Going to your breath on the sound of ah can help you come from your anxiety state to a more present state. So you take a deep breath in. And three of those, my teacher, Robert Baker, helped me learn that back in 2004. These are some of the things that I help my clients with when I'm seeing clients. As I've said right now, I've dropped everything that I'm doing and I'm just here working on my music and focusing on that. But I'm also available for anybody on Facebook. If anyone needs guidance, you know, I'm here to help. But as I said, like right now, I'm not taking on clients on full time. But if there's emergencies or things like that, you know, you're feeling a little suicidal, you know, you can reach out to me on Facebook, on Instant Messenger. I will always be available to be of service for emergencies. But as I said, like right now, I'm not taking on clients for that. I'm only working on my music.
Yeah, well, the music will expand all that you're expressing, because music itself is an energetic healing for people. As we all know, we have certain music that we really resonate with and we can turn to in times of trouble or triumph or just for that inspiration. So you're doing the work through the music and you'll be able to reach many, many, many more people. And that's a wonderful thing.
My world is free. My soul is good. My spirit's inviting. My world is free. My soul is good, my spirit's inviting. I've been holding back, now it is time. I'll never give my all to anyone, I'm fine.
And I love the way you're sharing this, because from my perspective, this is what mastery is. People have the impression that there's some pinnacle that you can reach or that anyone can reach, and that's false. Really, mastery is finding your way of staying on your course and ensuring that it is something inspired from within you and not something that you're just following willy-nilly. So it seems like you are very much on a path of self-mastery with your work.
Thank you.
Yeah. I understand, because, you know, I've been walking this journey my whole life, and I recognize it when I see someone who's walking that journey. And what we do, what we create, what we produce is going to be different for each individual, but that's the way it's meant to be. How boring would it be if we all were copycats and doing exactly the same thing as each other in the same genre? So this is what makes the world beautiful and magical, when we can find that gift from within ourselves and share it, and also when we can either inspire or assist another person to, you know, get up off the ground and begin to take those steps towards their own self-fulfillment. I don't think it's something we can do for people, but we can certainly inspire people to do it for themselves.
Yeah, so. I have a whole downloaded concert series that is about, it's a healing concert, and basically using light, sound, visuals, colors, all different healing methodologies to inspire what is called the erotic force, which is, there's three forces: the erotic, the sexual, and the love. I might have spoken with you about this once before a few years ago. The erotic force is that which, you know, it's like it gets you up to do that which you love, which is the sexual force, which is the creative force. And then the love force just is, it holds space for all of it. And so 10 years ago, I was downloaded with some of the concepts and ideas for this mass concert series going around the world that would stop in every city, create a healing wellness village, get everyone signed up, and then move on to the next. I'm kind of simplifying it a little bit right now, but there's, especially in the wake of this whole scare of the coronavirus where everyone's shutting things down, and I'm saying, okay, it's time for this right now. It's quite interesting to me, the timing. But it's been inside of me for over 10 years and I have, it's all written, it's all done. And it's just the timing of the evolution of my own soul, I believe, and the timing for the planet that it'll be launched. And so I was doing some DNA healing and going to get really back into that to get the exact information so that we'll know exactly where to go and what to do and how to set that up. But what you said about being an inspiration for that, yes, absolutely. That's the work. That's the messages that I'm getting about what I'm here to do and the purpose for the work that is happening, coming through me. Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. You know, it's that work is it's like a, I guess a birthing, and
yeah.
But it's like the birthing took place inside over the duration of your life, so it's coming out full grown at this time. So that's pretty amazing the way that can happen. So let everybody know how they can connect with your music and how they can get it.
Well, I'm worldwide on any platform, any streaming. Right now I've been, you know, just promoting it through iTunes. There's a link on my Facebook page. So you can get it through that. I'm also non-exclusive with my record label. So I'm probably going to put some links out on my own pages. I haven't created them yet. I've been so busy just working on the music itself. So I'm in promotion mode right now. And so right now through iTunes, like I said, any platform that you can buy digital music, we're in a contest to have 50,000 downloads, because then I will be getting a little bit more attention from the record label. So I have never really been a salesperson before, but please go and buy my single. Please buy my record so I can do more work. You know, I'm not used to saying that, but I'm getting used to it, because really that's the way to get the attention that I'm going to need in order to continue doing the work.
Well, I think it's really important, because especially nowadays, it's very, very difficult for performance artists to benefit from their own work, because it's so easy to grab things digitally.
Right. So true.
And it's a real challenge. And so I want to challenge people who are listening to actually support the artists and go and get a legitimate paid for download of the music. And we need to protect our artists, because, hey, you guys, we all need to eat, you know, we all need to pay rent.
Absolutely.
We all need to survive. And when you have someone such as yourself and many, many others who are dedicating their time, energy, creativity, and resources, it takes resources to create this kind of thing. You know, we need to understand that it's important to support it. I have other friends who have just about retreated from the music world because they can't sustain their life. And
right.
Amazing artists. And I think that
right.
The population has a responsibility to take care of those who come into our midst and have something powerful to share. I think that that's a responsibility that we all need to take on. So I would really encourage that. And for your work and for any artist's work, really, we have to be able to support our artists. And even now, as you say, as we're coming upon this time of having to be quarantined, or even if not officially being concerned about being in crowds, well, who's going to suffer? The performance artists, the bands, the musicians, the actors, everybody who's out there pouring their life onto the stage is going to be cut off and will suffer if we don't find ways to support arts at this
right.
time. So I think it's really, really important that we do that.
Thank you so much for that. And in saying that, I'd love to give a shout out to some of the people who have been supporting me, like Andrew Kane. I wouldn't even know you if it wasn't for him. So thank you, Andrew. Some of my backers, like Darcy Hewitt and Grant McCray, and some of the people that have really, my cousin Philip, my cousin Joni, that have really just like poured their money into me and to what I'm doing and into this project. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And although, and you know, it's really my ex-husband who we've gone through so much with, Christopher Gentile. I know that we're in a weird place right now, but you did support a lot of this. And I can't, you know, I can't like just not mention it because of what the state that we're in right now. I want to thank you very much for everything you have done to get me to this place. And anyone that has done anything for me, when you were saying about, you know, the artists have to eat and things like that, yes, but my main thing is I want to sell my records so I can pay back all the people that have supported me on my journey, a lot of investors and backers and family and friends. You know, yes, I want to have all the nice things that come with being a best-selling artist, but my main focus right now is I got to sell these records to pay back the people who supported me. And that's my number one focus. So thank you so much for mentioning that, because it's so important to support the arts. I mean, that's our soul. That's who we are. That, you know, I just finally really became 100% artist this year. You know, I was always on the outskirts doing my music, taking, and you know, it was always fun, but this year I like gave it all up and I just became an artist. And it's to be an artist, much respect goes out there as an artist to other artists, and do your due and do the due and pay your dues, because people need it. And you're so right in what you're saying, like support the arts, people come out and, you know, really pay for those downloads. And I'm not saying just for me, I'm saying for everyone, especially all those people you're saying that have to give up. That's the other thing. Dude, I'm 53 years old and I just came out. I'm making this thing happen. Don't give up. Don't retreat. There's always a way to do it. If I can do it, you can do it. So anyone out there that's listening to this, that's put their guitar down or stopped dancing or put their paintbrushes down or whatever it is, just because you're older, just because you don't have the money. No, you can do it. You can do it. Just keep the faith. And you can use the law of attraction. You got to use your success principles and the power of your own growth. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm a failure. Well, yeah, this version of you is a failure. Accept that. Put your mind to it. Go out there and grow yourself into the version of yourself that's a success. Like that's, there's no limit to what you can do, because you can always become that person who can do it. And that's, when I learned that and I figured that out, I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I am a failure. It's okay. I failed because of this, this, and this. But you know what? Lesson learned. My main thing is I don't want to ever repeat. So, okay, I did that. Oh, the other thing is the main thing as a healer is in personal growth and development, don't be afraid to feel your negative, quote unquote, feelings. I did this. Okay, sometimes you feel shame. Forget about the shame. Go right to the grief, the loss of time. Allow yourself to feel your feelings about what's going on, because your feelings are directly related to your soul growth. If you avoid your feelings, you're going to repeat. But if you allow yourself to feel your feelings, and the exercise that I gave a little while ago about breathing on the sound of ah, you do that 3 or 4 times and it helps you to connect yourself to your feelings. Your feelings tell you your meaning, value, and purpose. That's how you grow. So you feel your feelings, you be honest with yourself about what you're doing, you accept your failures, you allow your failures, because your failures lead you to your successes if you allow yourself to grow.
Excellent advice, excellent advice. And so we're going to be reaching the end of our talk here in just a few moments, and I wanted to give you a moment to remind folks about the release of Seven.
So the release of Seven was out on March 10th, And what I found, if you Google Christine Marie on iTunes, it'll pop up right there. So that's how you can find it. And so we're going to be promoting. And I just hope you enjoy it. And like I said, dance, relax, have fun, and, you know, let yourself be and just give it up to your inner child and listen to the song and let yourself just dance and move and have fun.
Excellent. And in 2 weeks, the name of the album again?
Divorce Morphosis. And it'll be out mid-April.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Christine, for joining me and having this talk. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
From the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
The heart and mind. Heart and mind.
Okay. Bye-bye for now.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Seven different lives, seven guys, 21 kisses, good night. Seven wives, seven different lives, seven guys, 21 kisses, good night. My world is free, my soul is good, my spirit's inviting. My world is free, my soul is good, my spirit's inviting. I've been holding back, now it is time. I'll never give my all to anyone, I'm fine. I play the game, I play the game. Seven wives, seven different lives, seven guys, 21 kisses, good night. Seven wives, seven different lives, seven guys, 21 kisses, good night. My world is open, you can visit me. I'll listen to y'all, that's polyamory. I've been holding back so long that it hurts. Ain't pretending no more, gonna have what I want. Round and round I'll go to a place that loves me. Seven different lives, seven guys, 21 kisses, good night. Seven wives, seven different lives, seven guys, 21 kisses, good night.
And that was the debut of Christine Marie, aka CM, and her new release, Seven. Check out the website, prn.fm, Heart of Mind Radio archive page, and you will get a link to Christine's work on iTunes. And once you get there to iTunes, you'll find so much more that you can explore with regard to her music. I also wanted to invite you to tune in again every Saturday at 6 p.m. We're also on WBAI Radio on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. and podcasts where you can find on whatever delivery service that has podcasts. Anyway, it's Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. You can reach me by email at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. The website is heartofmindradio.com. And so it's a bit of a theme. We want you to get in touch, stay in touch, and pay attention to what we're doing, what we're sharing. And if you have an idea, if you have a service, if you have a creative flow, if you've written a book, if you're a practitioner, drop us an email and maybe we can get together right here on the radio. Take good care. And our opening theme is Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark. And we're going to leave you with another piece of music for contemplation, for slowing down, for having a good evening.
To see you like I'm knocking on heaven's door.
We're going to leave you with a little snippet from the past, an interview from our archive with a little bit of music. Stay tuned. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and we'll be together again soon.
And my guest is Andrew Cohen. Andrew Cohen is a spiritual teacher, cultural visionary, and founder of the global nonprofit Enlighten Next, and is award-winning publication Enlighten Next magazine. After a transformative meeting with the renowned Advaita Vedanta Master H.W.I. Punja in 1986, Cohen began teaching internationally and almost immediately started reshaping the larger cultural conversation about the purpose and significance of enlightenment in our time. He founded Enlightened Next magazine almost 20 years ago as a forum for serious spiritual and philosophical inquiry. He has since become known for his unique capacity to foster culture-changing dialogues among leading thinkers from a wide array of traditions and disciplines. I want to thank you for coming here to WBAI and welcome you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it is a real joy for me to have you here, because this is the discussion that I find the most passion in. You know, this transformative enlightenment, you refer to it in your book with its title, Evolutionary Enlightenment, A New Path to Spiritual Awakening. And of course, we are speaking with Andrew Cohen. And I'm not sure where you would like to start with this book and describing it to our listeners, but there was a few things that really struck me as I was reading the book. And in the beginning, you speak about that place of going back to the beginning of time.
Going back to before the beginning.
Before the beginning of
time. Before the beginning.
And that felt so sort of like a delicious kind of thing that I wanted to engage.
Sure.
Though I haven't yet taken that particular path in my meditation or come to understand how to reach that space in my meditation. But I would really like to have you start in this book. The other thing that really struck me was that, you know, the conventional wisdom is to live in the moment. And you're really giving us an opportunity to engage in a transformative process that's maybe a dimension different than just living in the moment.
Yeah, it's not just about living in the moment. It's about reaching towards the future.
Yeah, which is unusual, I think.
Well, this is the difference between what I call traditional enlightenment mm-hmm. and the new evolutionary enlightenment. So the traditional, what I'm calling the traditional enlightenment, is based upon the awakening to the deepest level of the self and also the deepest level of reality. And in that awakening, we discover what the Buddha called the unborn and the uncreated. And how we discover that part of ourself is by entering into a meditative state. And the way we enter into a meditative state is by ceasing to identify with the content of consciousness, in this case, thoughts and memories. And when we cease to identify with thoughts and memories, when they fall into the background and disappear, when thought and memory disappears, time disappears. So when thought, memory, and mind disappears, time disappears. The experience, the awareness of time disappears. When time disappears, the awareness of the external world around us disappears. So when the mind disappears, time disappears. When time disappears, the world disappears. And when the world disappears, when the external world around us disappears, and if we keep going deeper, and even if our awareness of our own physical form disappears, the great mystical discovery is the mind disappears, time disappears, the world disappears, even my own physical form disappears, but I'm still here. And so then in the traditional mystical awakening, there's the recognition that when everything disappears, who I really am hasn't gone anywhere. And then, of course, from that vantage point, we realize that who I really am and who I really always have been is not really the mind, the personality, the body, or this physical form, but who I am is this primordial depth of timeless, formless being. And so the traditional enlightenment is based upon that realization. But in evolutionary enlightenment, we're using that realization as a jumping off point, and we're saying, because in this teaching I relate and I associate this deep timeless formless dimension of reality to the empty void out of which the entire universe, our entire material universe, emerged. We remember that 14 billion years ago something emerged from nothing. That was the big cosmic explosion that gave rise to the evolving universe. And so out of that primordial no-thingness or nothingness that we experience in these deepest states of meditation, out of this primordial emptiness, the entire creative evolutionary process emerged. So the traditional enlightenment is based upon awakening to the deepest part of ourself that's never been born and never entered the stream of time. And in that part of ourself, there's no time and there's no memory and nothing has ever happened. And that's why we experience so much freedom there. But we also realize that the entire creative process emerged from that primordial nothingness. And I interpret in my teaching the creative process as a desire to exist in time and form. So I see the entire creative process or evolutionary process as the desire to exist, which means, from a human point of view, I actually want to be here. And we know that because when we awaken to and give focus our attention on what I call the evolutionary impulse or the creative impulse, we notice that the nature of the creative impulse is very life positive. We can experience the nature of the creative impulse, which is the energy and intelligence that created the universe. when we focus our attention on the easiest place to locate it is first of all in the biological command to procreate, in the sexual impulse. But at much and we notice that the nature of that impulse is an ecstatic urgency. The creative impulse is an ecstatic urgency. But at higher levels, at much higher levels of our being, the uniquely human compulsion to innovate, to give rise to that which is new, is also the expression of the evolutionary impulse in and through human form and consciousness. And the highest expression of the evolutionary impulse is what we call the spiritual impulse, which is the urge towards consciousness. So we realize then that the creation of the universe, the initial burst of energy and light that gave rise to matter, is one with the human experience of the evolutionary impulse, which we experience as the sexual impulse, as a drive towards innovation, and as the compulsion towards consciousness. It's one movement. It's one directional pull or tug. So basically here what I've realized is that what we're calling the spiritual impulse moves in two directions simultaneously. One is back to before the beginning, and that's what we were speaking about a few minutes ago. It's the desire to go back back to the deepest part of ourself before time began, before anything existed, before anything was created. There were no problems to overcome, and that's why when we experience those very deep states of consciousness, when there's no mind and there's no time, we experience peace, joy, and eternal freedom, because nothing happened yet. The universe wasn't yet created, and of course, we surely didn't exist yet. And the other direction is the direction of the Big Bang, which is the dynamic emergence of creation and the creative process, the evolutionary process, which, from a human perspective, from the anthropomorphic human perspective, we can interpret as a desire to exist in time and form. And the human experience of the evolutionary impulse, which we could also say is a God impulse, because who created the universe? God created the universe. But from this point of view, we say God is not a divine being that exists outside of or beyond the process, but that the energy and intelligence that created the universe is inherent in the process. And so we could say that that's that singular impulse that caused all this to happen, that's causing all this to happen, we actually experience at all these three levels: the sexual impulse, as the creative impetus, and as the urge towards consciousness, as an evolutionary impulse. And when we do, the nature of the evolutionary impulse is overwhelmingly positive. It's the experience of an ecstatic urgency, a desire to exist that's absolutely life positive.